I might know the answer to that question, Kim. The African football spotlight is shining this evening on Abuja, Nigeria's political capital. That's where the Confederation of African Football, CAF, is holding its annual awards ceremony to honor achievement on the pitch in 2015. The big prize to be handed out is the African Footballer of the Year Award. Manchester City man Yaya Toure is bidding for his record-extending fifth consecutive trophy. Cameroon's Samuel Eto'o also won four African Footballer of the Year awards, but Samuel didn't do it in consecutive years like the rugged Ivorian Toure. The two other finalists for the award are Andre Ayew of Ghana and Swansea City, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon and Borussia Dortmund. Among the 10 other awards to be presented in Abuja are Women's Player of the Year, National Team of the Year, Club of the Year, and Most Promising Talent. And speaking of promising talents, the latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post is on undefeated Ghanaian prize fighter Richard Comey, who could fight for a world title this year. You can read it at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. The International Boxing Federation says the 28-year-old Comey will fight in a final elimination bout for its world title in 2016. Comey is a power puncher who fights in the lightweight division. He's won all 23 of his pro bouts. World football's governing body, FIFA, will hold an extraordinary Congress on February 26th in Zurich, Switzerland. The Congress will elect a successor to Sepp Blatter, who will step down as FIFA president after a turbulent 2015 marked by corruption and criminal investigations. For an update on the election, we're joined once again this evening by our football guru, David Legg.
Sammy, we've got five contenders, and that looks like where it's going to stay. I don't see Michel Platini at this stage coming back into the race. I know there's talk of an appeal. You lose track at times of whether it's an appeal of the appeal of the appeal. And also Moussa Baliti. Now, this is the Liberian. He went to the CAS, which is the International Sports High Court, so to speak, and they backed the FIFA decision, so he's out of the running. So officially, Sonny, we've got five contenders, and they are from Africa. We've got Tokyo Sekwale, an apartheid-era political prisoner, come business tycoon. He's 62 years of age. Interestingly, he's never held a formal position with the South African Football Association, and I've got no doubt that perhaps some of his rivals, as we get up close to D-Day, may use that against them. The most interesting thing, Sonny, about Sekwale's manifesto is that he favors sponsorship being allowed on national team jerseys. Now, this is quite divisive. Rich national football associations, and here I'm thinking particularly of Europe, they're dead against this. They say that the national team jersey is sacrosanct and it mustn't be touched. It must remain clean, as they put it. On the other hand, Sonny, if you think about it, for most African national football associations, the word cash-strapped applies very much so. And the chance to make potentially a lot of money from having a sponsor on your shirt is certainly worth considering. And Sekwale has emphasized this. He says he's not imposing this on anybody, but he believes that this is an issue for debate, and it's certainly an interesting one. But despite that, the fact is that Sekwale is undoubtedly an outsider in this five-man race. You've got two Europeans up against them and two Asians. Let's look at the Europeans first. You've got Jerome Champagne. He's a former FIFA official. He was quite close to Sepp Blatter, the now displaced FIFA president in limbo. Blatter himself insisting he's still running the show, but I think we know better than that, Sonny. And the other European is Gianni Infantino. Now, he's the man we all know well from the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League draws. He handles these very complex situations with amazing skill. From Asia, you've got Prince Ali. He, of course, was a contender against Sepp Blatter in the last elections. Prince Ali lost He withdrew after the first round, but he got quite a few votes. And in the eyes of some people, he's the favorite. And in the eyes of other people, specifically some bookmakers, the favorite is another Asian candidate. He's a Bahraini, Sheikh Al Khalifa. He is the man who at the moment heads Asian football. You could call him the Issahayatu of Asia. It's very difficult to call, Sonny, at the moment. I'm going to hedge my bets, but I certainly think Sukwali is an outsider, not because of any particular deficiencies on his behalf, but the fact that he's up against some very strong candidates. And I think some of those other candidates have got extremely big war chests. And as we get closer to D-Day, which is February the 26th in Zurich, it's the ability, I think, to get around from one continent to another, preferably in your private jet, and press the flesh could be a key factor.
David, it's been a while since we had one of your patented African football quiz questions. Can you give us one to kick off 2016?
Yeah, certainly, Sonny. I've had a lot of emails, and everybody's asking the same question. When is the next quiz? Well, the next quiz is now. And the question is, which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League? And that includes the former name of the competition. It was then known as the African Cup of Champions Clubs. So what we're talking about, Sonny, is way back to 1964 when this competition started. So it's between 1964 and 2015. Which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League?
2016 is a leap year, David, so we're going to set a deadline of Monday, February 29th, to get your entries in. David and I will now tell you where you can send your entries.
VOA! It's david.leg, and leg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France-Presse.com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.leg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com.
The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237. So remember, February 29th is the deadline for submitting your entries for David Legg's African Football Quiz. The first three people with correct answers will be receiving some of those delightful VOA goodies. Well, the threat of lightning caused first-round action to end early Thursday at the South African Open Golf Tournament in Johannesburg. Reporter Mark Tompkins says there's been a strong showing so far by South African golfers.
Well, the threat of bad weather brought an early end to day one here in South Africa, with just a handful of players left out on course. And there's very much a home feel to the top of the leaderboard, with four South Africans currently at the top. Jaco van Sail leads the way after a round of 65 this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I got off to a really nice start. The first eight holes was just absolutely perfect out there this morning. So, you know, you really needed to capitalise out there. You know, after the eight holes, it really got tricky out there. I mean, the breeze came up and it was really hot. So, you know, I just kept it together nicely.
And he's one shot clear of Sean Norris, who shot a 66. 67s for Keith Horn and JB Kruger this afternoon. And the nearest foreigner to get close to them is a further shot back, Tano Goya, the Argentinian, heading up a group of players who shot 68. One of those players on minus four still out on course is David Drysdale. He'll need to complete his first round tomorrow after bad weather brought that premature end. He just eagled the 15th when the hooter came, so he'll be disappointed to have had to come off course. But it's Jaco van Sail that leads the way on day one. He's shot a round of 65 and has a one-shot lead over Sean Norris.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Tompkins, reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa.
The Voice of America. VOA. Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Finally, here's a sunny side of sports salute to Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza, who on Wednesday were officially elected to Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. They're the only two members of the class of 2016. Ken Griffey Jr., one of the greatest players of his generation, enters the Hall in record fashion. He was named on 437 of the 440 ballots returned by members of the Baseball Writers Association of America. That's a record, 99.3% of the vote. Ken Griffey Jr., he was a slugger, 660 career home runs. That's sixth all time. Piazza also could hit the long ball. 427 home runs, the most ever by a catcher. Congratulations, Ken Griffey Jr.